is focusing on dance, if you couldn't tell that from the program. We have a very interesting first program this morning because we think of dance of moving around on your feet. And yet, dancers use their entire bodies. And so the first morning program, we're going to be talking about gestures. And I think you're going to hear that gestures not only come from the hands and arm movement, but also head, eye, eyebrows, face, and other parts of their movement of the body making up gesture as a part of dance. We have people from three different culture areas. They're going to introduce themselves. A lady representing a form of classical dance from India. A second lady talking about belly dance, a Middle Eastern art. And then Hawaiian dance. And who's first?
Do I have to hold the mic? I can't show my hand movements if I... Okay. No, that's perfect, actually. Thank you. Hi, my name is Miriam Ellie. I'm from South Florida, Broward. And I do a variety of Middle Eastern and North African and Armenian dance forms. Thank you. And so I don't know the meaning of every single hand movement, but I do know some of them. For example, Armenian dance, a lot of times the women want to show their jewelry, and the movements are something like this, showing the jewelry, the rings and the neck and the bracelets. There's also a swan dance, which the arms are here. Well, they come up and they sway. And then they also go, at the end, it goes like this. And you could see the swan head in the arm. And there's also, sometimes they go on their knees and they knead bread and they do this kind of hand movement. And in a lot of the Rakşarki, which is known in this country as belly dance, Middle Eastern dance, Oriental dance, also in Turkey it's called Oriental, there are a lot of snaky movements, like the arms. I'm not sure about the meaning of the arm movements, but we call them snake arms. There are a lot of snake-like gestures in the fingers. There's a lot of rippling down. And of course, there's also a snaky movement in the undulation of the spine. So I would love for a dance ethnologist to let me know if that comes from some kind of ancient snake goddess. It would be really interesting. There's also the Moroccan dance, the Ghidra, which is the dance of the Tuareg, or the blue people of the Sahara. It's mostly hand gestures, and the hands are flickering out. It's a dance of blessing, flickering out energy from the body, from the head. A lot of the meanings have been lost, but I know that they believe that the liver is the center of emotion, so it's not their heart. And they go like this, sort of handing out love and blessing from my liver to you, right? And there's also another type of dance I do is the Rom, Turkish dance, Rom as in gypsy. And they have a lot of hand gestures. A lot of times they don't really share the meaning because it's a more private culture. But I know that this one movement is like slicing to prepare food. They do doom, doom, chaka chaka doom, tak, doom, doom with the rhythm. And they also have, let me check my notes. They also have certain salutations, like they from doom, doom, chaka chaka doom, tak, doom, doom, chaka chaka doom, tak. So it's like saying hello from my heart to you and then offering. And they also go down on their knees. And with the rhythm again, they wash the clothing. So they get their skirts and they go doom, doom, chaka chaka doom, tak. And then they ring it out, doom, 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 chaka 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 doom, tak. They hang it, doom, doom, chaka chaka doom, tak. And then they wipe the sweat, doom, 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 chaka 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 doom, tak. And that's it.
Hi and namaste. My name is Mini Sharma, and I'm originally from India, representing a group called Yatra, which means journey, and we, you know, choreograph and perform Indian classical dancing, folk dancing, and now the much more popular Bollywood-inspired dancing. Bollywood is the Indian equivalent of Hollywood, so it's the film industry where most of our music comes from. I've been practicing Indian classical dance. There are several different forms, and I've been doing two forms, which is, one is the Bharatanatyam, which is literally, it means the dance of India. Bharat is the Indian name for India, and Natyam is dance. So I've been practicing that for a long time. I went to dance school before I went to real school. So basically, the history, you know, dance for us has, you know, religious roots, our roots of dance is in mythology. So most of our Vedas, which are our scriptures, equivalent to probably the Bible and the Gospel and everything, are dance is a very integral part there. And most of our things that we do today are still inspired, and still we still follow that route, you know, whatever was written 5,000, 6,000 years ago almost. So there are a lot of puritanical people who believe that, you know, we shouldn't be mixing it with folk forms and adaptations and variations, but I beg to differ. So if you're most welcome to come tomorrow. We're going to perform Yatra, which a group of young girls, and Kavita is one of the dancers there. She's right there. We do a lot of fusion. You know, we try and mix the traditional forms with the folk forms and some Bollywood, and you know, we think it's more beautiful if we keep adapting and adopting. So as far as gestures go, Indian dance is, for us, and a dancer in India is like a storyteller, because you're saying stories from mythology, the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, and some of you have heard of that, the Bhagavad Gita. And so there are about three different three different aspects to Indian dance. One is called Nrita, which is pure dance, which means most of it is footwork, and without the expressions or without the hand gestures, it wouldn't mean much, and I'll just demonstrate a little bit. So the dancer, can you hear me if I don't hear?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's easier. So the dancer's body, this is not a dance dress, this is just
200 years old as we know it. I need a microphone, only 200 years old as we know it. But the interesting thing, and for me, it's especially wonderful to have so many different styles of dancing, and particularly we have Miriam, Middle Eastern dancing, and our Indian dancer, because we're talking about where does the dance gestures come from. And flamenco dance has a very, very strong Middle Eastern and Indian influence. And it was interesting, I can't remember the Indian dancer's name, but she's telling us that for them, they use the arms and the hands gesture to tell a story. And in flamenco, we don't do that necessarily. It's not that literal. Our dance is very, very abstract, although we got a lot of the hand movements from them. The flamenco music is very heavily gypsy-based, and many people think the gypsies came down from India. And also, as many of you know, that the Moors were in Spain for over 700 years. Those were our strongest influences. I think that the flamenco hand movement, which is so Spanish and so flamenco, is almost like a variation on the Middle Eastern hand. And it would have been nice, I would have liked to have done, maybe Miriam could show us, you know, we could look at the difference between the Middle Eastern hand and the flamenco hand, and you'll see how similar it is. Okay, so we'll do, like, I would do something like this, let's say, an arm motion. I might go like this, like that, and maybe you would do, so it's a lot softer, but you can see that there's a similarity there. Just in the basic hand, we call them flowers, with our whole hand, and a fan, and fanning is very important in the Spanish culture. We're always fanning ourselves, and we're very expressive in our talk, even if it's just during the day and we're talking, we're having a conversation, we're always going like this. So when we start doing our flamenco, the hand is constantly going, you know, and it just, I think you know, they ask, where does it come from? I don't really know. Like I say, I think that it's just was developed into the dance. It's very abstract. I don't think it has a definite meaning, per se. You know, so can you say anything?
Yeah, just one thing I wanted to mention about the one difference between the Middle Eastern and flamenco that I've noticed is that flamenco, a lot of times the circles of the wrist go in and out. Mm-hmm. And Middle Eastern, they just either go out, sometimes they go in, but it's not out, in, out, like alternating like in flamenco, which is much more difficult, I think.
It's what else can we say about the arms? Any, you want, have any questions? And you'll be seeing all of these dances, all the different ethnic dances, all day, today, and tomorrow, and then you'll be able to see the differences for yourselves. What dancer do we have
Hawaii.
Here? Hawaiian. And they probably have a similar arm, too, don't
yeah.
you?
Very similar.
Yeah, I'd like to see that because I know all the arm movements are similar.
Aloha mai kako. My name is Kavehi. I come from Hawaii, the state of Hawaii. I was just listening to our ladies and how very, very interesting how it's very important for the hands and the eyes and the whole body to tell the whole story. Much like hula. Hula is you're using your mind, your body, your thoughts in portraying a story. Telling of the story, it's very, very, very important. So what was your question about the hand?
I was just wondering, in flamenco we make a lot of circles with our wrist. There's a lot of wrist movement, and also in the Indian there's a lot of finger movement, and we move them all over the place.
Yeah, very good.
I was just wondering what you do.
The Hawaiians also use their whole body, their hand motions and everything. We have two separate different forms. One is called ancient hula. In ancient hula, much like the Indians, where it's very, very pure and very, very ancient rooted. From the ancient form or the kahiko form, the awana, the hula awana, or the modern form came, where the ancient perhaps would dance very, very strong, very, very straight. The hula awana, the modern hula, would take almost the same motions, and they would soften it and make it more expressive, where in ancient hula, we are mostly all somber. Our eyes are very, very straight. Our hands are very, very forward. When they're talking about the body, it's usually straight down. They use feet movement too, for example. Another thing about Hawaiian hula is they would literally, without the words, without any words, there would be no hula. Hula is the telling of the story with the words attached to it. If you see people dancing with drums suddenly and they're trying to dance hula, they're not telling a story. They look very pretty, very pretty. But the hula, the true hula form, is the storytelling. So they would use motions and everything to tell a story. For example, ladies, I'm going to do one hula. This hula we're going to do for you is called Waioli. Waioli was written for the last king and queen of Hawaii, King David Kalakaua, Queen Kapi'olani. As was the custom of the day, the king and queen would visit the different islands. And when they did, the people of the islands would give them ho'okupus, or gifts. One of the highest form of complimentary gifts one could give was a mele, or a chant. This was one of the chants that was presented to the king and queen. Here it says Waioli. Waioli means happy waters. It was the people's mana'o, and people's thought that perhaps the king and queen would continue to have children, and the Hawaiian race would continue as it is. So the whole song was about how happy they would be, slipping and sliding in the water, coming together, bringing forth life from the land and to the people itself, nourishing and bringing forth more life. So, Ho'omākaukau.
Au hea vale ana oe e ka ua loku ai olin.
Au hea.
Au hea vale ana oe la. E da ua loku ai olin ai. Kamana va pehuge I alai. O da limu o malu a de parai.
Au hea vale ana oe.
Once more. Here's the word today. Where are you? You who bring the rains from above. As we come together, the waters from above bring land, waters to the land. And so we bring our feet as we go forward into the waters we go, where it's slippery and sliding. From the mountains above to the lands below, the waters bring forth life to the land and to the people. Ahehoa. Ahehoa means, so we are friends indeed. This place where we come together. So here is a telling of my story. For you, my queen, Kapi'olani, may you reign forever.
Are there any questions for any of the speakers this morning? I think we could see some similarities, some differences, some heritage, you know, where the gestures come from. Ladies and gentlemen, do you want to add anything?
I have a question for the Hawaiian.
Yes.
I'm just wondering if you know how or from what influence the movements went from being a lot stronger in the arms movement to the more fluid, softer movement? If you know how that happened.
Good question. When the missionaries came, hula in its form was banned because it was considered obscene. So the people took that hula form and went underground. So what had evolved from what was, again, once more like the Indian, pure, we evolved it into what we have now. This is just a trace or a memory of what once was. So it is my my goal in life is to perpetuate the Hawaii that I grew up with. These hulas and these dances and the style of dance is something that was passed on to me. And so it is my mission in life to perpetuate that.
Hey, I have a question for the ladies. When we learn about gypsies, who are a special class of people who traveled throughout Europe, one of the beliefs is that the gypsies came from India. And through India, then they spread to Europe. Of course, they went through the Middle East and North Africa. And I wonder if there's any tracing of dance similarities between flamenco, between Middle Eastern and North African dance, and dance from India, since that could be the cultural place that these gypsies who traveled came from.
I'd like to say something about the gypsies. Usually, they're wherever they ended up landing. When they were in India, they did Indian dance. When they arrived in Hungary or Turkey, they adopted the culture of the city that they were in, and they were able to adapt it. And then they did Hungarian or Turkish or Romanian dance, as well as when they went down to Africa or they were doing Middle Eastern dance. And like I said, and when they arrived down in the south of Spain, and they think that that's how flamenco was created, through this kind of melting and merging of the culture of the Indian, the gypsy coming in, adopting the Spanish classical flamenco and folkloric dances, and then kind of making it their own. And like I said before, but wherever they go, they bring the different elements with them. So they brought those arms from India. They brought those arms that they picked up when they were in, you know, Morocco, maybe, when they went down. Can you add something to that?
I'd like to add that, yes, they did adopt the dances and music of the countries where they settled, if they settled or continued to migrate, or they were mostly nomadic originally. But also they made those dances and music evolve and augmented it and created their own style. So we will do a supposedly gypsy-based dance in our 11:30 show, which is from the Upper Nile in Egypt with the stick dance. I've seen stick dances all through the Balkans that the Roma practice. And also we have a Turkish dance. It's also going to be a Roma-based.
Well, one thing that's really interesting to me is how, in you know, amongst all the dances that we were talking, there's some of the symbols are so universal. It doesn't matter how far geographically we're placed. It's just like language. You know, I'm an anthropologist, and I have to make this note that in language, there are, you know, if you take proto-historic languages, old languages, there are some words that are mandatory in all languages: sky, earth, water, air. And somehow in dance, it seems like it's the same way, that everybody has a word for snake. You know, however, you know, Middle Eastern does it differently, Indian does it slightly differently. There's something for water, there's something for fish. So some of the symbols are so universal that it's hard to not notice that. I think that's interesting. And we also have stick dancing in India that we do to celebrate one of the harvest festivals.
Well, let's give a thank you to all of our performers who gave some explanations this morning. You've heard them all refer to the program because each of these groups will be performing here at the Folklife stage and also at different stages. So if you watch your schedule, you'll be getting able to see examples of what they told us about. We've had a slight schedule change. Speaking of schedules, the book refers, I think, to the John